UFOs suddenly are all the talk in Washington.
They are sightings that have alarmed and mystified U.S. naval aviators for years.
Whoa, let's get close.
Spherical objects flying thousands of miles an hour with no wings, darting side to side.
That was ABC News correspondent Martha Raddatz talking ahead of a Pentagon report expected for this Friday, detailing what the U.S. military knows about UFOs. News of the forthcoming report has been met with excitement and anticipation, although officials are trying to mute expectations, worried that the report may muddy the conversation because of ambiguous findings. Now, this was all sparked by reports that came out in 2017 in the New York Times initially, when videos were published that gave new hope to those looking for signs of extraterrestrial life.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA.
Oh my gosh.
They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west. Look at that thing, dude.
Joining me now to talk about this, Carol Cleland, a professor in the Department of Philosophy and director of CU Boulder's Center for the Study of Origins, who studies how scientific discovery has throughout history hinged on anomalies or phenomena that researchers can't explain in terms of our current understanding of the world. She's also a study affiliate member of SETI, which is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And first of all, welcome to the show, Professor Cleland.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So in discussing this report that's coming out this upcoming Friday, is it important to temper expectations, or is this the kind of report that can throw the entire field of SETI research open wide?
I think it's important to really temper your expectations. We've heard rumors about what's in the report, but we haven't seen it. I think it's going to be interesting because it's being released in the rumors, and the Pentagon's never released a report on UFOs like this before. And the rumors are intriguing, but until we actually hear what the report says, I don't think we should jump to conclusions.
Right. U.S. intelligence agency and the DOD are required to report on what they know about unusual aerial phenomena. And it's all because, I guess, of a stipulation in the massive COVID relief funding bill that Congress approved last year. And it had this deadline of 180 days for these agencies and DOD to present the report to the Intelligence and Armed Services Committees in each chamber. But there's also an expectation that this report, or at least some parts of it, the unredacted parts of it, will be made public. Do you think that will answer the questions that a lot of people have had ever since these videos first started surfacing?
It depends what you mean by the questions. If you mean it will answer the question, has Earth been visited by technologically sophisticated craft made by aliens, I think the answer is clearly no. Because I think what you'll hear is that some of these phenomena cannot be explained in terms of our current understanding of human technology capacities.
And the reasons they can't be explained is that in observing these naval aviators, who one would presume have a very sophisticated knowledge of flying machines, could not detect things like a propulsion system or wings or things that are typically associated with something that can fly through the air. And in addition, these objects had high degrees of maneuverability and turning capabilities that we don't possess here on Earth at this time, at least to the knowledge of U.S. military intelligence. Is that correct?
I think that's what some of these cases look like. Now, whether they're technological is something that needs to be investigated. I think it's definitely the case. I mean, there has been, maybe China or Russia made this. I don't think that if it's technological, it's Chinese or Russian. We've been seeing this phenomena since the 50s, and the description of the 50s have them maneuvering, as you say, in ways that are completely unexpected from human technology at that time. And I just don't believe that China and Russia at that time had this vastly superior technology to what we have. We would have heard about it and they would have used it.
And at the same time, what has been observed so far, at least what's contributing to these reports, as we understand it, has just been strictly from the pilot and radar technicians who have detected these phenomena, these unidentified aerial phenomena, as they're being called, UAPs, as opposed to UFOs, although certainly they are unidentified flying objects, if that's what has been detected. But some have said that there needs to be more science brought in, that the scientific research community across the nation, maybe even the globe, has not been sufficiently brought in and included in trying to detect and analyze the information, the data that is out there.
I completely agree. And I think it needs to be taken out of the hands of the military. The military is concerned with whether it's a threat to American concerns and interests, and whether or not it could actually be used to harm us. We've been seeing these things for a long time, so I think that the military is no longer so worried about a threat, but that's their main concern. What I think should be done, as a philosopher of science, is that a group of non-military chemists, physicists, atmospheric science engineers, people who are expert in the atmosphere and its interactions with water and land, and engineers who are theoretical engineers who have some understanding of propulsion systems, a group of these people should be brought together and appointed the task of looking at the most credible cases that are going to be released. We've already seen recordings, so they have recordings of these events. And I think that we need to take it out of the hands of the military and have a group of civilian scientists and engineers really look at it and see whether they can explain some of the phenomena that are considered especially credible. Now, you hear especially physicists, I've seen in the news, saying that, oh, I'm sure it can be explained. I mean, usually this kind of phenomena can be explained. But that's very vague. That's as bad as saying it's UFOs, in my view, because they haven't explained it. What we need are specifics for specific kinds of unexplainable cases. We need people to say, look, here's the case, and here's how we can plausibly explain it in terms of natural phenomena. And maybe they can. I think that this is the point of my work on the study of anomalies and scientific discovery. If you look at the history of really major scientific revolutions, they're often right on the heels of discovery of anomalies. That is to say, somebody sees a phenomena, they try to explain it. Science is conservative. That's very good, because there are lots of phenomena that can be explained in terms of our current theoretical understanding. And it's important not to just reject our theories if, in fact, we can use them to explain the phenomena. But you need to try to explain the specifics of the phenomena, and you need to try very hard to do this, and some of your explanation is going to be more plausible than others. If a phenomena resists explanation for a significantly long period of time, it just can't be explained, then it's time to rethink the phenomena. That is to say, is there something wrong with our understanding of atmospheric phenomena? Is there something wrong with our current atmospheric theories? Or is this really best explained in terms of non-terrestrial technology? So I think all three of those are options on the table. By the way, I don't think it's probably instrumental error alone. I think it might be a phenomena that's interacting with our instruments in ways that we can't explain. But the idea that our instruments can't explain, that our instruments are malfunctioning, I think is probably not a good explanation for this. So I think there are three plausible explanations. It's some kind of atmospheric phenomenon that we can't currently explain with our current theories. It doesn't mean our theories are bad. It just means that there are complex contingencies that we don't fully understand that are interacting in mysterious ways that we don't fully understand, or there's something wrong at the level of our theories. And both those cases what you're seeing is a natural phenomenon. The other possibility is that it's an extraterrestrial technology, maybe a drone, of some sort of extraterrestrial drone. But you can't really evaluate the plausibility of this unless you pursue all three possibilities in a very careful scientific fashion where you are giving explicit explanations that you find plausible, trying to come up with explanations that are plausible for the phenomena.
And Carol, thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. We're going to be continuing the conversation with Professor Carol Cleland, director of CU Boulder Center for the Study of Origins and Study Affiliate member with SETI. But falling in line with some of that scientific skepticism, here's Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's the director of New York's Hayden Planetarium and astrophysicist, telling ABC News, though he hasn't seen the objects himself, he's pretty sure they're not aliens.
I've never seen anything that I could not explain, and that's typical of many of my colleagues as well.
I think it's ignorant for us to say, well, if it's not Russian or Chinese, it must be from the Pleiades or Alpha Proxima. Is it possible? Sure. But there's a whole bunch of other options that it could be, too.
That is Luis Elizondo, Lou Elizondo, as he's known, who headed up since 2010, between 2010 and 2012, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP, a secretive agency that was created by then-Senator Harry Reid, investigating UFO reports by military personnel. It ended in 2012. The explanation for ending it was that the funding of $22 million was better spent on other programs. But in 2020, after release of the videos that identified and revealed the existence of ATIP, a similar program was started in the military called the UAP Task Force. But since his leaving the military, Elizondo has been at the center of some of the most recent reporting of the Pentagon program, as well as the latest efforts to get more information to the public regarding what military personnel have seen and what it might represent. I'm joined today here on The Extra by Professor Carol Cleland, director of CU Boulder Center for the Study of Origins, a center that studies how scientific discovery has, throughout history, hinged on anomalies, things that researchers can't explain in terms of our current understanding of the world. And some of the things Mr. Elizondo was detailing, Professor, seem to dovetail into things we can't explain, things we may not have an understanding of yet.
I agree with what he said. I mean, I agree with everything that he said. He said there's lots of possibilities for explaining it other than it's alien technology from another world. I mean, I completely agree with that. And he didn't dismiss it, and I don't dismiss it either. I think what you heard him say is he was originally interested in whether it posed a threat. I think the fact it's being released is that people no longer believe it poses a threat. That's why you need to take it out of the hands of the military and put it in the hands of a group of scientists to evaluate what this phenomenon is. Now, there is the potential that if this is a natural phenomenon, it could still lead to somebody being trigger happy and triggering a war. So I think it has that kind of military consequence, namely that we might overreact to it. So I think it's very important that we study it, but I think it needs to be taken out of the hands of the military and put in the hands of a team of carefully selected specialists in atmospheric phenomena, chemists and physicists and engineers. So I don't disagree with him at all. He didn't say that it was not alien technology. I think speculating where it's from would be kind of absurd. We have no idea whether it is even alien technology. But I think that it needs to be studied. And I think if it's a natural phenomenon, that's a win-win, right? I mean, it's a natural phenomenon we don't understand. And so I think that studying it, whether or not it's alien technology or a natural phenomenon that we don't understand, that might expand the horizons of our understanding of complex atmospheric phenomena or even push the boundaries of some of our theoretical understanding of nature, either one of those represents a significant and important advance in human knowledge.
And at the same time, I should mention Mr. Elizondo, just in recent days to the Washington Post, has said that UAPs do pose a serious threat. He says that there have been incidences where these UAPs have interfered with and actually brought offline our nuclear capabilities, and that there's also data suggesting that in other countries, UAPs have interfered with their nuclear technology and actually turned them on, put them online. That suggests,
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would, of course, push it towards the, it must be a technology, because I can't imagine a natural phenomena that would do those kinds of things. But I don't think we know. And again, that's an anecdotal, you know, report by him that's based on other reports. Again, the best thing to do at this stage is to convene very carefully a select committee to study this phenomena in detail.
Right. Do you think the military is capable of doing it on its own?
No, I think it should be taken out of the, I think that the military is secretive. It only cares about whether it's a threat to us. And that's not the kind of study we need at this stage. I mean, we've been seeing these things since at least the 50s. I think there are even earlier reports. So it's not as if they've attacked us. If it is some kind of alien technology, and it may, that might, could be an argument that it's not an alien technology. It's some very strange atmospheric phenomena that we don't understand. And I have no idea what it is. And I have no idea if the report that you just, I haven't read the Elizondo article in the New York Times, and I don't know what his sources were. So it sounds like he's convinced it's alien if it's really being reported to do the kinds of things that you just said that he said. But again, I haven't seen it. And I think the best way to evaluate this is to get it out of the hands of the military. The military should just hand it over, unredacted, except for our current technology, if there's some bizarre reason that we don't want, the technology to be, there's a problem with Russian and Chinese understanding of our technology. But in terms of the actual phenomena, it should just be released.
Right. Let's hear more of what Mr. Elizondo has to say on the subject. He is certainly someone who is well poised to speak about it, what he can reveal, because a lot of it is classified. Let's take a listen.
The fact that it is finally having an open conversation despite decades of denial, I think is a tremendous step forward. It's not nearly enough, however.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. My gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots from the west. Oh, that thing, dude.
That was the sound from one of the videos that was released, published by the New York Times and a company called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences back in 2017. The official confirmation coming from the DOD that those were accurate videos, that those had not been doctored in any way, that confirmation coming in 2020. That was about the time that we were starting to hear rumbles from Congress that they wanted to get more information, that they needed to be briefed in a more full way, in a more transparent way, something that some people call disclosure. Whether it will fully reveal all the information that is known on unidenfied aerial phenomena, that remains to be seen. That report expected in the coming days. We're joined today on The Extra by Professor Carol Cleland, a professor in the Department of Philosophy, director of CU Boulder's Center for the Study of Origins, who studies how scientific discovery has hinged on anomalies, phenomena that researchers cannot explain in terms of what we understand about the world. And certainly those videos, I'm not sure if you've seen the videos, Professor Cleland, but those videos, when I first read the article back in 2017, that video stopped me in my tracks because it seemed to have all the markers, all the indicators of something that appeared to be an official-looking video, the official confirmation coming a couple years later that it was indeed DOD video. But it also had, you can hear the surprise and shock of trained naval aviators at what they are seeing, that they are surprised by the capabilities of this craft that they saw. And according to one of the naval aviators, Commander Dave Fravor, who was observing on that day, although I don't believe it's his voice that was in that video, he said at one point it simply vanished from view, vanished from their radar detection systems. That kind of capability is something that at this point we don't know of any U.S. or foreign military assets that can have that kind of capability, true?
You've just now, and everything you've said, assumed that it's alien technology. You call it a craft. You say we don't have any crafts that can do that or the technology to develop such crafts. No, the fact it vanished suggests potentially, and I'm not saying either way, that it's an atmospheric phenomenon.
I see, yeah.
I mean, that's what atmospheric phenomena do, if it's kind of like a mirage. I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying that the best way to establish what this phenomena is to actually consider the alternative that it's some sort of natural phenomena that we don't understand as a foil to the claim that it's extraterrestrial craft. And that's what I think needs to be done. I think you cannot just immediately assume, because it exhibits what strikes us as intelligent, sophisticated technology, I don't think you can assume that. I think that if you're going to take a scientific perspective to this, you need to explore both possibilities. And I think that that's what needs to be done. There are lots of phenomena that are very hard to explain, and then we discover that we are able to explain them as natural phenomena. Sometimes it's due to the fact that we don't understand the complex contingencies of our very complex atmosphere and the ways in which it interacts with land and water. So getting some atmospheric specialists together with some engineers and having them hash this out is the way to go. Science is conservative, and that's a good thing. I want to repeat myself, because theories would be abandoned when they are first, suggested very quickly, because every theory that has ever been proposed faces anomalies.
Right.
Newton's theory faced anomalies. Mm-hmm. And so and then Einstein's theory solved some of the most egregious and most difficult to explain anomalies that afflicted Newton's theory. So I think what you need is to approach this with that, well, it could be alien technology, or it could be some kind of natural phenomena. These are challenges our current theoretical understanding or our current understanding of how atmospheric phenomena work in a complex environment like a planetary environment.
And you are echoed by other scientists out there, and I apologize, because you know obviously I'm not the scientist, so I'm glad that you're bringing up this point. Jonathan McDowell, a Harvard astrophysicist, you may be acquainted with him, says it's impossible to say without access to the raw data and the people who claim to see these things what they are. My position is that unidentified is not the same as unidentifiable, just that there's not enough useful information to make an analysis.
Exactly. And my work on how anomalies work in the context of scientific discovery indicates that it's the effort to explain them as natural phenomena within the framework of a current theory that leads to scientific revolutions. And I'm just talking about natural phenomena here. And it could lead to, the best explanation for this phenomena is an extraterrestrial technological craft. And so that would be one possibility. But you cannot just jump to the conclusion, because it appears to behave in a way that we can't explain currently as a natural phenomenon, that it in fact is an unnatural intelligent artifact. That's all I'm saying. So both the scientists that you cited so far, I'm in agreement with. I would be a little more neutral than maybe Alessandro, in the sense that I would say that we just don't know whether it's natural versus intelligent craft. He may be being very careful because as a scientist, he knows that people are going to immediately jump on the one rather than the other. And what we want to do is try to be neutral between natural phenomenon and extraterrestrial phenomenon. Extraterrestrial intelligence? And so the question to me is that you have to have that neutrality, or you're just, you know, jumping on a bandwagon and you don't have good data.
Well, we are going to continue the conversation. We have one more segment to go here on our extra show. We are focusing on discussing anticipation and expectations, and maybe tempering some of those expectations of the upcoming report expected to be made this Friday, detailing what the U.S. military knows about unidentified aerial phenomena. More of the extra after this.
There are dimensions. There's M theory, string theory. There's all sorts of hypotheses that suggest that the three-dimensional universe in which we live in, isn't quite so easy to explain. These reports that were being taken by trained observers in some of America's most sophisticated platforms, and their observations were being backed up by gun camera footage and electro-optical devices, and further backed up by radar.
You're listening to The Extra, and that was Luis Elizondo, former U.S. military intelligence officer, speaking about the aerial sightings by military pilots that he says cannot be explained. Elizondo, the former head of the Pentagon's Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP. He says its mission was similar to other U.S. government efforts to study unidentified aerial phenomenon. And this upcoming U.S. intelligence report that we are anticipating, he is saying, will not deliver any full or final truth about what's been seen or experienced. My guest today, Carol Cleland, professor at the Department of Philosophy and director of CU Boulder's Center for the Study of Origins, also an study affiliate member with SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, is joining us now. And is it possible in this day and age that this kind of report, where it's going to have a classified index that likely will be kept from the public but will be available to military and congressional members, do you think it's possible to keep what's contained therein secret, and or will this just stir the pot even more?
Do you mean keep the redacted parts secret? Is that
yeah.
What you mean? Mm-hmm. I think that, quite frankly, the U.S. government redacts much too much. We're constantly getting massively redacted documents, whether it has to do with, you know, the recent political scandals involving the last president and the Ukraine. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that there's this tendency to over-redact information. It should only be redacted if it poses a serious threat to national security. So I think they should unredact most of that. I'm guessing most, I don't know why they're redacting so much of it. Again, what I really think is important is that all of this information be turned over to a civilian group of experts, atmospheric scientists, chemists and physicists, geologists, geoscientists, planetary scientists, and engineers. People, theoretical engineers, people who really understand engineering, not at the level so much that's practical, although you can include them too, and have some understanding. Maybe aeronautical engineers would be a especially good group. So I think that what you need to do is turn as much information as you can over to them and let them explore this and then give a report to the Republic.
Right. And we anticipate that it will be a maybe not fully comprehensive report, but there are more sightings that we understand are going to be included in this report, not just the three of which video footage and radar footage exists. We're hearing somewhere on the order of more than 100 potential sightings or experiences that are being detailed in this report, although information on the report has been very minimal until now. We are expecting more as that report gets issued. I'd like to thank my guests today, Professor Carol Cleland. Any final thoughts in this final minute here on The Extra?
Well, the fact there are so many of these sightings that can't be explained, over 100, makes me kind of think that some, at least some of this is some kind of inexplicable natural phenomenon. Why? Because the nearest stars to ours, and it's in, under our current understanding of physics, you can't travel really rapidly back and forth despite science fiction. The nearest stars to ours that would have a potentially technological civilization are quite distant. And so I would think that if they did visit us, it wouldn't be very often. And so the fact we have so many in a short period of time, since the 1950s, I presume these are probably just in the last 20 years, makes me skeptical that it's actually some kind of extraterrestrial intelligence, because that would, if it were, we'd be massively under their surveillance. That just strikes me as implausible. But again, I'm thinking of this from a human perspective. We don't know if there are extraterrestrial intelligences, whether they think like we do, and whether they act like we do, and whether they reason like we do. We don't know that. So, and we don't know what their science is. I mean, they may be, they would certainly be further advanced than us. We don't know which of our theories in 100 years we're going to give up. If you look at our current science from the what's called in philosophy of science, the pessimistic induction, most of the theories we currently hold, we didn't hold 150 years ago. And who knows what theories we'll hold in 150 years from now. So our science is going to change. There'll be things that remain the same, just as from the Newton to Einstein, there are things that remain the same. But we're going to have changes in our science over time, and we don't know, you know, exactly what they have learned that we might know about. So I do think that we have to be, but it does seem to me that many visitations by aliens in a short period of time is a little too many. So that makes me more skeptical about it being actually artificial, intelligence. Extraterrestrial intelligence. But I could be wrong.
Interesting.
I'm open to that.
Yeah.
That's why we need to have an independent civilian board study these phenomena, and the military needs to give up almost all this information. And I don't know how we can get them to unredact it, but I think in general there should be a massive unredacting of a lot of the stuff that we get from the government, redaction is important, particularly for national secrets, military secrets, not national so much as military secrets. But I do think that unless you can turn over both the witnesses and the information, the recordings, et cetera, you're not going to get such a committee to really be able to explore it properly.
We've been speaking with Dr. Carol Cleland, a professor in the Department of Philosophy and director of CU Boulder's Center for the Study of Origins, who studies how scientific discovery has, throughout history, hinged on anomalies, phenomena that researchers can't explain in terms of what we understand of the world right now, demonstrating and explaining how science is an evolving discipline. And certainly that seems to be the watchword of the day, that our understanding is soon to evolve, maybe, and hopefully will, as this plays out in the days, weeks, and months to come. Dr. Cleland, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you've been listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio.